Hello and welcome to Science Off Camera. I'm Dr. Matthew Kersey-Dunn from Teledyne Photometrics, part of the Teledyne Imaging Group. In this podcast, I will be speaking with imaging specialists and industry leaders in scientific imaging from around the world about what they do, the advances they have made, and the cool imaging setups they have in their labs. Before we get started, if you're interested in learning more about scientific cameras and comparing technologies, we're currently holding live interactive remote learning sessions at our demo centers around the globe. Book a personalized session with one of our application specialists today on our website, photometrics.com. We also have an exciting new product launching soon, the Kinetics SCMOS, which delivers a frame rate and field of view unmatched by any other SCMOS camera. Book an online demonstration to see how it compares to current camera technologies. In this episode of Science Off Camera, I'm talking with Dr. Alessandra Scarpellini, Head of Sales and Marketing at Crest Optics, about her work, her time in the imaging industry, and how Crest Optics are adapting to changes in their world. Well, the first question I'd like to ask is, can you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about your career path up to your current position?
Yeah, sure. So, well, I have a background in life science. So actually I have, I started as a biotechnologist slash biologist. And, you know, after graduating in Italy, I moved to the UK for a PhD. So I studied in Nottingham, and then I decided to stay there for another few years doing a postdoc. And at that time, I started doing a lot of microscopy. So here is where I really started working with imaging and optics. And you know, I believe, always believed that microscopy and imaging brings an extra value to scientific discovery, because you know, when you see something, you understand it in a better way. So images from a microscope say much more than just seeing a graph or some measurements obtained in other ways. And after that, I made a choice of leaving academia because an opportunity presented itself in the microscopy world. So actually I moved to Nikon, to the European headquarters of Nikon, where I worked for a few years as a product specialist for confocal microscopy. So in there, I was supporting European sales reps and end users with confocal microscopy. So after that, so there were a few changes of position in there. So at one point I was managing the group of product specialists. But after that, I took up a new challenge. So I wanted to move more into the application world. So I moved for a job with SM Bioscience, which is now a part of the Sartorius Group. And in there, I took care of the field application scientists for the European team. So that was a team that, when I left, was made of 12 people, so quite a large team. And in there, again, imaging was on the background, because the technology was based on live cell imaging and analysis of data based on that. So after that, for many different reasons, I wanted to go back to Italy. I'm Italian, so after 15 years abroad with these two company jobs, I decided to come back to Italy. And here, actually, I started working in the position where I am now with Crest Optics, where I oversee the commercial and marketing activities of the company. And we are specialized in spinning disk confocal. So again, it is imaging and confocal and a lot of live imaging. And, you know, I enjoy a lot this world because it is, well, I'm very comfortable in it. Let's say I know the network, and it is nice to work in a company of this size where we are not too big to be stuck with too many processes. And while you know, starting to place our name out there as a important company in the spinning disk world, we are still small and dynamic enough to still have quite a lot of fun while working.
Okay, that's a nice sweet spot to be in.
I enjoy this job. It's hard work, but you can see the impact that your actions make.
And the output from your actions are often these beautiful images as well. This is the appeal of microscopy. The output is beauty.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't hurt. And I mean, this will not be visible in the podcast, but our offices are all decorated with nice microscopy images. So it is a nice environment where to work.
So, what's the appeal of something like spinning disk?
So spinning disk has, well, as every confocal, of course, it has the ability of sectioning samples. So you have the possibility of looking in very fine details 3D objects, which are, essentially biology happens in 3D. So every object is 3D, and you need to explore all the different layers of these objects. The beauty of spinning disk for this approach is that it is fast. It is much faster than other techniques. So of course, when you have to image a large amount of data or you have to image large 3D samples, it brings an advantage because not only you can be fast with your work, but you can follow dynamics of live objects with much more details because resolution is not only the pixel resolution or the XY resolution, but time resolution is essential when you do live imaging. So being fast, of course, enables a different layer of discovery.
Okay, yeah. And Crest offers a lot of different solutions to very, very fast imaging, I believe, because the disk spins extremely quickly.
Correct. So since the beginning, the spinning disk of Crest Optics was designed to be faster than all the other disks on the market, so that our goal is to make confocal spinning disk accessible to a variety of people for a different, I mean, many different applications. And speed is one of the target points that we want to cover in the best possible way.
It does seem like biology and imaging in general just wants to get faster all the time. Everyone wants to look at things faster, look at things they couldn't see before.
Absolutely. I mean, discovery at the end is looking at things that no one has seen or has measured before. So we've seen a lot of parallel development in this field where, microscopes and instruments have always larger field of views. Cameras are getting always more sensitive. They're getting faster because you can look at the same event in many different ways, and every time you add a layer of information. So definitely, the speed allows you to get this extra information. And, speed, as I said, it is essential for fast live imaging, but in recent years, technologies like clarification of tissues is becoming quite popular, or imaging of large tissues like organoids or spheroids is something that we hear about every day. So for those very thick samples as well, where you talk about, half a millimeter or 1, 2 millimeters, which for confocal microscopy is a huge size. So being able to image them fast, it means getting a lot more work done in a day.
So, how has the transition been for you from academia to industry and now working with people in academia?
So I think it's actually very nice to have been in both worlds because I can speak the language of a scientist because I've been a scientist, I've been working on a bench for several years, and I know what the main issues are when you have to run experiments and to study and to discover things. So I think being a scientist myself helps me in understanding the possible frustrations and issues of our customers, and then helping designing and promoting instruments in a way that target that frustration, so to solve the problem. So having that experience and also knowing what most of our customers want to see helps in getting the right information to our product development team. And on the other side, even if I now work for a company, I enjoy the discovery that you see looking at samples, or simply, you know, sitting next to a customer during a demo and seeing their reaction when for the first time they, you know, they look at something that they could not see before, and they do that using your instruments. So that I still share the joy that they have with the discovery process.
And you get to see more labs than you would have normally done anyway, all sorts Absolutely. Of research groups.
And, you know, the fun thing is that most of the time we get involved with end users when they are actually collecting funding for purchasing new instruments. And typically this happens when there is a new cool project going on. So this is where funds are awarded. So often through NDAs or with general discussions, we get to know about very innovative projects. So it is very, very interesting, because other people only get to know about the same projects after 1 year or 2 years when the work is published.
Mm. The travel and meeting new people is very fulfilling. Have you had to completely stop travel and demos during the pandemic?
Well, I have to say, since since February 2020, I have only been on a plane one time. And before, on the contrary, until the year before, I was on a plane twice a week for 3 weeks a month. So definitely there has been some changes. And, you know, some of them are actually not too bad, because life-work balance can improve. And, you know, we all got to see that certain things maybe were just done out of habit and can be done differently. I have to say that I miss a lot the interaction with colleagues and customers, because we do a lot of, video activities, remote work, remote demos, but I miss the coffee break, the lunch, or the drink after work where you discuss how the day has been. But I believe we'll be back in doing that relatively soon. And actually, I'm very happy we've been able, despite the challenging year that just passed, we've been able to stay in contact with our customers, maybe even more than we did before with some of them. So, well, here at Crest, actually, we completely changed our workspace. So, you know, differently from other companies that just kind of blocked the office and only had the smart working, as many of us need to come to work for product development or for production. So we actually took the chance and we duplicated our office space. So everyone has an individual office, so you can safely work from here, and you can work from home, but you can come to the office if you want. We have created these facilities for remote work, so we can do remote support and remote demo activities from the office. So we try to find ways to keep contact between us and with our customers.
Mm. It's been really interesting seeing how different people adapt to the situation they've been forced into. And yeah. I think quite a lot of good's come out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And some ideas that we never thought about them before, because there was a certain way of working and it has never been discussed. Now, what I notice is, for example, we became much more regular in the way we have meetings and in the way that we allocate time, because when you're working remotely, you know that you have to fit in different appointments, and when you have to do something in 30 minutes, you do it in an efficient way. Maybe if you are in the office all day and you know that things can be done in the morning or in the afternoon, you end up leaving them for the end of the day and maybe they are not done. So I've seen that we became much more structured as a company, so we've become more productive as well.
How have things been for you personally? Because I understand Italy had quite a hard time with the pandemic really early on. Are things moving on?
Well, things are improving right now. But I have to say, living in Rome, I have seen a very drastic change of the city, because Normally the city is packed with tourists, and now, of course, we had the severe lockdown where you could not even leave the house. There was police patrolling the streets. But even now that the situation is getting more normal, we do not have tourists yet. So the city is looking extremely empty, which on a way it is nice. You get to see some, you get to do sightseeing as no one has been doing before, at least in the last 50 years. But on the other side, it's a little bit sad to see the city as empty as it is right now.
Yeah, I've seen some really haunting videos from massive cities where the streets are just empty, and places that you would, as you say, normally are packed are just completely empty, and people are taking the opportunity to just sort of experience it like that.
Now you can have an ice cream in front of the Trevi Fountain and be the only one there, which was absolutely impossible until 1 year ago, where you would have 15 rows of people in front of you.
Yeah, well, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's extremely beautiful in a way, but sad on the other side, if you think of the reason for this.
And I guess in the next couple of months, that'll start to drift back to how it was before.
Well, I think so. I mean, now we are getting on with the vaccination plan, and so is the rest of the world. So I, of course, with some limitation and with extra safety measures, but now that we move on towards the summer season, I'm sure that there will be improvements. There will be some more life around us.
Did you take up any new hobbies or do anything differently during the pandemic? Because you could work from home, but you also had your office space.
Well, we spent, and I personally spent quite a lot of time at home. This will sound boring, but I've been cooking like crazy. I've been baking as never before. And at one point, I guess I was not the only one, because in Italy, you couldn't find flour or sugar or yeast at the supermarket, nice. Like if we were in a in a war. A lot of cooking and unfortunately no exercise, so not a great combination, but fun.
It's so interesting because exactly the same thing happened here. You couldn't find any flour or yeast or anything. Everyone was making their own bread at home.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about the first lockdown, but everyone got crazy about baking.
Yeah.
I think everyone wanted a hobby where you get something creative out at the end of it.
And yeah, something that you can improvise quite easily without having to go and purchase so many things.
And I think if you're stuck at home, you may as well be stuck at home with the smell of freshly baked bread.
Exactly. And you know, when it is comforting as well. So while everything outside is dark, having something nice to cook and eat at home with a nice smell in the house is... Yeah, makes you feel better.
Yeah, I moved house during the pandemic, and it's giving me a lot of opportunity to sort of walk around and see what the area is like. And so there's a lot of parks and places like this where everyone else is walking out as well.
That's cool. So. Yeah, I think here in Rome also, where most people, they just tend to go everywhere by car, even if they have to do, half a kilometer, they will take the car and drive there. But during lockdown, people started the walking and cycling actually much more. So you see, I don't know how many, at one point you couldn't find a bicycle in a shop that was the next after flour and yeast when we ended the first severe lockdown. And so I think people took up that habit, and it is nice. And having lived in Amsterdam myself for a few years, it's something that I enjoy.
Yeah, they have enormous bikes over there in Amsterdam.
Yeah, and you see more bikes than cars in there.
So what do you think the future looks like for Crest now that things have been changed? Do you think they're going to change back, or do you think it's going to carry on in a different direction?
Well, I think definitely they we'll keep the good things, as I mentioned, the productivity. We hired, in the last 6 months, we hired about 9 people. So we are boosting a lot, especially our product development team. So we're getting more people there. In general, the company has been growing, so we will put resources into getting more products and more differentiated products out there. And so I would say this it's something that we took advantage of during the pandemic, so boosting the internal team. And, you know, we've all enjoyed being at home and baking, but I'll be the first one out whenever it is possible to do so safely and, you know, meeting customers, distributors, and having a chat face to face with people. So we'll be starting with workshops and trade shows as soon as that is possible.
I remember doing a lot of remote demos myself, and there's not quite any substitute for having it in your lab with your sample on your system.
It is different. I have to say, we and our customers more than us have become very creative in ways of simulating live samples or different type of samples for demos. So we, you know, there are some limitations to things that you can image when you are in an office space. So we became creative with microfluidic chips, for example, using beads floating inside those chips to simulate fast live imaging. Or, you know, we had customers shipping us a variety of samples to image here. So that has been fun.
Yeah, definitely. I guess with the medium you're imaging in, it is best used for like big 3D and dynamic movement samples.
Yeah, correct.
We had a lot of sort of, you get a lot of very flat fixed samples typically. So it's nice to show someone something dynamic.
Yeah, something nice and 3D is fun. And I think our, you know, the people that we have here at the reception, normally they collect all the parcels coming in, and they are used to receive certain types of parcels. And in the last 12 months, you know, every time they were coming to me saying, yeah, there is some samples for you. It says brain or gut. So they were like, well, what are you doing here? Something different than usual, but that was fun.
Yeah, it's always quite interesting when you travel with these things.
Yeah, just put them in your toiletries, then it's fine. Nobody notices.
Yeah, I did a lot of work in regenerative medicine, and it's all about making and printing body parts.
Uh-huh.
And I think someone was going to take some, like a 3D printed trachea they were going to take for an emergency operation. But they couldn't take it on the plane because it was in more than 100 milliliters of liquid. It's just like, no, it's not a bomb. It's like, it's a trachea. It's a part. No, no, you can't take it on the plane. So.
Yeah, I've been guilty of actually putting in my toiletries small Eppendorf tubes with samples. And it was nothing forbidden, just liquid that you have to carry somewhere.
We had the 50 milliliter Falcon tubes, and I would just put my shampoo in there because I know exactly how much it is in volume.
Nice.
So I just get a huge bottle and just decant it into these tubes like I'm aliquoting back in the lab again. Are there any subjects that you'd like to talk about or stuff you'd like to highlight?
Just one, maybe just one last thing, because, you know, Crest is one thing we didn't mention until now. Crest is a pretty young company, not for the age of the company, but the average age of people working at Crest is quite low. I think we are below 35. I'm one of the old people at Crest. And of course, you know, this is one of the generations that have been hit quite a lot by all the restrictions we had in Italy in the last 12 months. So with all the energies that we've now used inside the company, we are preparing to be able to finally, you know, explode back and use all those energies for outside work. So we're all very excited about what is coming in the next 3 to 4 months. So yeah, young company ready to be out and about and have fun and presenting some nice new products.
Yeah, I imagine there's going to be a lot of appetite for it, especially for the first in-person conference that everyone can go back to. Because this is such a nice atmosphere about a conference, and everyone's been starved at that for a whole year. So it's going to be...
Yeah, all the things you gave for granted, having a coffee and meeting 50 colleagues in a trade show. Now, we're all looking forward to that again.
Yeah, it's going to be really sweet once you get the stall set up and it all feels like home again.
Yes.
Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thanks for the nice chat, Matt. Anytime.
Thanks again to my guest. Dr. Alessandra Scarpellini. If you like this podcast, please follow Photometrics on social media for more episodes, and check out photometrics.com for the latest in scientific camera technology for life sciences, such as the Kinetics SCMOS camera. We also host episodes that focus more on physical science applications, such as near-infrared, X-ray imaging, and spectroscopy, partnering with Teledyne Princeton Instruments. Follow them on social media to see when the next episode is released. See you next time, and stay safe.